Hey, don't worry, the world is not gonna end soon. So, we say. Hello everyone, welcome to the another episode of Look Who's Talking. We are so excited to have Jeff Devereaux today with us. We cannot finish talking about Jeff. He's an actor, director, producer, distributor, and also working as a professor at San Diego State University, where he's teaching film distribution and finance. He has been associated with films such as Full Out, Full Out 2, The Samuel Project, The Brothers Keeper, Kiss and Cry, King of the Camp, and many others. We welcome you, Jeff, to our podcast episode, and it was a formal introduction and kind of cliche thing, but we will go candid and casual, as I mentioned earlier. So thank you so much for being here today.
Sure, thank you. Nice introduction. Thanks for having me.
All right. So I will start first with a quotation from one of the best directors Bangladesh, or if I may say so, South Asia had ever got. He's none other than Tariq Masood. We have lost Tariq Masood a few years back in a car accident, but he's one of a kind. So once he said that the hardest part of filmmaking is not collecting budget, rather distributing that film. So it's kind of a South Asian context here, you know, distribution of a film is very tough because of an old-fashioned way of distribution, if I may say so. Okay, can you relate with this statement? Because you are a distributor yourself, and what's the context in quote-unquote Hollywood context? So how can you relate with this?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I totally relate to that, and I agree with it 100%. So, I'm going to talk in the context of primarily North American filmmaking and distribution. I'm not too up to speed with, I know what Bollywood is, obviously, but it's not necessarily my expertise.
Right.
So I'm just going to talk about, you know, primarily North America, Europe, and, you know, a lot of the sort of North America, like Australia and Canada and the Americanized territories, because that's...
Right.
Okay. Right. So here's what I say to filmmakers and to my students. And I mean this. So I've either produced and or directed 7 feature films. And 3 of them are on Netflix. So I know the film, I know all about film production. And it's not easy to make a movie. It's very difficult. There's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of complications. It's very difficult to make a movie. But it's way, way, way more difficult to sell one. So I always say that the making of the movie for me is like the party. You got the money, you're spending it, you're on set. Yes, you're working hard, you're working long days, you're solving a lot of problems. It's not easy, but relative to selling a movie, making it is the fun part. Selling it is the real business, and that's where all the work comes in. And right. You know, you can make a movie, you know, let's say anywhere from 6 to 12 months, you know, by the time you plan it, shoot it, edit it, do all the post, okay? But when you're selling a movie, it could be years and years and years. You're in distribution for anywhere from, you know, 2 to 10 years, because the movie, it's like a child. Once it's born, it takes on a life, and that life keeps evolving. So you sell it, and, you know, when you say sell it, you license the movie, and once that first license term is over, whatever, you could have multiple licenses, obviously, at the same time. Then they expire and you do it again. And then you do it again and again and again. So distribution kind of never ends. You're always going to be involved with hopefully monetizing and licensing your movie, hopefully forever if you're lucky.
Right. Although I'm not associated with filmmaking, but I can sort of understand that. Next one, it's a very cliche one, but I think it's my limitation that I couldn't find much information about it. So when did you form your distribution company, and how did you first of all, think of coming into films and film business?
So when I was graduating high school and going to university, I was living in Canada at the time. I lived in Toronto, Canada. So my dad said to me, I was 17. My dad said, "What do you think you want to do in your life?" And I said, "I know exactly what I want to do. I want to make movies." I knew that. Like right
from All right.
I always said I wanted to make movies. So then he said to me, when you say make movies, do you mean produce or direct? Huh. And I said, I don't know. What's the difference? And he said, if you want to produce, then it's all business and you got to either get a finance degree or a law degree because you're going to be dealing with contracts and money. It's all business producing. And if you want to direct, then go to film school and get a film degree because that's dealing with the artistic elements of making a movie. So I said, you know what? I think I want to produce. So he said, good, go get an MBA or law degree. And so in undergrad, I got a finance degree and then I went to law school and I got a law degree. And the minute I graduated from, well, not, you know, in Canada, after you graduate, you have to do a year of sort of apprenticeship. And then the minute that was over, I went to work directly for a big media company in Canada. And I applied and I thought that I was hoping to get a job in the production department where they make the content. But they didn't have any jobs at the time. And they said, hey, you know, with your education and your personality, we have a good job available in the distribution division. Would you want to do that? And I said, I guess, I mean, I want to make movies, but like, what's distributing? They said, well, you know, it's basically selling the movies. I said, sure. Thinking that that would be my foot in the door so that the minute a production job opened up, I would hopefully be eligible for it and be able to get it. So I thought, okay, I'll be in distribution, you know, for 6 months, a year, whatever, and then I'll go into production. Well, I stayed in distribution for 22 years. I learned the distribution business really, really well. And I worked for several big media companies, both in Canada and the United States. And then when I learned it well, I left and I opened up my own company in 1996, it was. I opened my own company and originally it was called Kaboom Entertainment. And I did primarily kids and family programming. Okay. And that's, you know, and I ran my own company for about 12 years. And then when I was financially stable, successful, comfortable, and very knowledgeable about how to sell movies, then I said, okay, the time has come for me to now make them. And that's when I switched gears and opened a production arm in my company and I started producing movies as well. I started in distribution by accident. And by the way, it was the best thing that could have happened because knowing how to sell a movie is so valuable for when you're making it, you know, if you're an independent producer. Now, if you work for a studio, then the studio is going to do all the sales. You don't have to worry about anything. But if you're an indie producer, like an independent producer, and you want to make a living and be financially successful, you got to make great content, but more importantly, you got to know how to sell it.
Your father said, if you want to make a film, get a degree. You know, I'm just dragging South Asian context just to relate. Because here, most of the students or young generation actually don't get the exposure or they cannot afford to have a degree on filmmaking, especially, and go to abroad. Because especially in Bangladesh, we don't have that much such level of, you know, education exposure or regarding filmmaking. So if you want to learn filmmaking and get a degree, if I want to do that, I have to go to USA or in a Western country to have that, but not everyone can afford it. Having said that, how much do you agree with this, that to learn filmmaking, you need to have a degree? How much it helps? Or would you say that just go have a job under, be an AD, be an assistant director, and learn from the field, and then you can be a film director? So which part to take?
Okay, well, first of all, you know, I mean, you mentioned it in your introduction. I'm an actual professor at a big university in the United States called San Diego State University. You know, we have several thousand students in our film department. So, I mean, I'm not going to tell you that getting a formal degree isn't a good idea because I teach there.
Right. So
obviously, I'm going to promote that. But I think that it's good to have, I mean, there's two forms of education and they're both very important. There's formal education at, you know, at a university or, you know, at some type of institution of higher learning.
Academic, yeah.
Yes, academic. And then there's the school of experience and, as we call it, hard knocks, which is learning the hard way. So just doing it, going out and actually working in the field. So you need both. All right. Even all of the students who graduate from any film degree program, certainly in the United States, I'm going to say around the world, they have to go get a job. And they generally are going to start in a low-end job, like you say, like a production assistant or an assistant director or something.
Right.
And because they got it, like what you learn in film school is theory. I mean, that's the case with every degree, not just film.
Right.
You know, even when you're a doctor, you know, you learn in medical school, you learn the theory, and then you got to go do 4 years of what we call residency, which is learning how to actually apply it all. You know, when you're a lawyer, you have to do, you know, a couple years of understanding. You can't, what you learn in academia, in school, is the academics and some of the techniques and that type of thing.
But, right.
But applying it to the real world takes a lot of experience and learning too. So it's a good idea to do both. Now, if formal education is not available or you can't afford it or whatever the case may be, the greatest thing that ever happened was the internet.
Because right.
All you need is a Wi-Fi connection and you can go on and there is so much knowledge available.
True.
Now, there's a lot of crappy stuff out there. There's a lot of stuff that I would not recommend. So you have to know how to filter through what's good and what's bad. But right. there's so much knowledge at your fingertips just if you can have a Wi-Fi connection and you can learn a lot. And, you know, and like I say, if you pay attention and focus on hopefully what is the wiser teachings, then right. that could, I'm not going to say it will formally substitute for an education, but it's pretty good. And then getting out there and working is always going to be hopefully, you know, the best learning experience, because that's where you're really going to apply the knowledge to the practical world.
True. Let's talk about film market. So this question is from one of our listeners. He asked how to find a market for an independent film. Like if I have made a film and I need to find a market, so should I first submit it to a film festival, because you know it gives you more exposure to some big distributors from all around the world, or should I approach an OTT platform, or should I talk with the theater? So but being a newcomer and being an independent filmmaker, it's tough to get the OTT access or releasing it to the theater. So from your experience, would you say that how to find market for independent film? What's the first step to have that?
Okay, your listeners can't see my face, but I'm smiling as you're asking that question. let me rephrase the question for you. The question that you just asked me is basically what you're saying is, how does distribution work?
That's right.
You're basically saying, right. I made a film. Now what do I do? Like, how do I get it distributed?
So exactly.
What market do I go to? Where do I start? I mean, why don't we just talk about the basics of distribution? All right. So the distribution has changed so radically over the last, I'm going to say, 3 to 5 years, but even more so in the last 2 years. So let me just tell you sort of where we're at today, because where we came from almost doesn't matter anymore, because I'm not sure the future is going to be the same as the past.
Right.
The past was they're what we call windows of distribution. So if your film is good enough and big enough and, you know, entertaining enough, the first window would have been theatrical, going into movie theaters. Then once you have hopefully a decent run there, then you used to be able to put it onto home video, which in the United States we don't really have anymore, which is like DVD and, you know.
Yeah.
Do you still have that in
the- No, we don't.
Okay. So now it's all digital, obviously, okay?
All digital, yeah.
And then of course, there's television, right? There's still cable TV and satellite TV and all this kind of stuff. There's international, there's alternative markets. So there's lots of other places. But the major, you know, distribution channel these days is streaming, which is digital streaming. And so there's three levels or three categories of streaming, three pillars of streaming, basically. So again, I'm assuming India is the same as here, but I don't know, maybe it's different. But in the United States, basically you have SVOD, which stands for subscription video on demand. which would be like Netflix. So Netflix is, okay. So the major change that happened in distribution over the last 2 years is all of the big Hollywood studios got into the subscription video on demand game and opened up their own streaming channels and platforms.
Right.
And took control basically of the viewing market. Whereas it used to be that, you know, Netflix and Hulu were the only big players. Now you've got Disney Plus and HBO Max, Paramount Plus, and, you know, Discovery Plus, you've got Amazon, obviously. You've got all right. So the major viewing is with subscription video on demand, where you subscribe for a monthly fee and you get unlimited right. viewership. Okay. The yeah. second level, the second tier or the second category is transactional video on demand, where you pay for each time you stream. So that used to be the main one. And, you know, the leader in that was were iTunes and Amazon. And you'd watch yeah. a movie for $3.99 or buy it for $9.99, whatever. But not many people are doing that anymore because the value is so much better to just pay a monthly subscription. True. Okay. And then the third one, the newest one, which is catching, you know, is probably the most popular right now, is AVOD, which is advertised video on demand or advertising based video on demand, which basically allows the viewers to watch for free, but they have to watch commercials, TV commercials.
All right.
So those, the two big platforms there are Pluto and Tubi. I mean, there's hundreds of platforms now. So when you say, I made a film, where do I go? I say, you got to go to the streaming world to start, because that's where the viewers are. The viewers are in the streaming world. They're either watching generally on AVOD through some free streaming platform, like YouTube even, or they're watching through SVOD, major streaming, you know, like a Netflix. And most people are doing both. So, you know, everybody sort of has maybe one monthly subscription. Some people have five or six if you're, you know, you like a lot of content. And then, you know, a lot of the younger people or people who don't want to spend the money on a monthly subscription go onto the AVOD platforms and watch great content for free. They just have to watch the commercials. So if you're an indie filmmaker with, you know, new content, you got to be in the video on demand world, the streaming world, because that's where it's at. Now, there's still business in television. Most indie films are not getting theatrical releases anymore. I mean, for two reasons. The theatrical world has changed, obviously, because of COVID. I personally think it'll come back. Time will tell. But also, most indie films aren't big enough to have a theatrical release because they don't have A-level talent or big production value. So a lot of people don't want to spend money going to the movie theater to watch an indie film, unless there's something special about it.
Right.
All right? And then there's obviously... I mean, you can, and then
what I
just described happens around the world. You can do video on VOD streaming around the world in every territory and television as well. But a lot of your listeners are going to ask this question. So let me just ask it so that I can answer it. Okay.
Right. And
they're going to say, okay, great. We know about streaming. We know all of digital delivery. We know all that. How do you actually get it into those, you know, platforms? Like, what do you do?
So
there's basically two ways to go. You either get a distributor a third-party distributor who's going to represent your product, who hopefully will do a good job and put it onto those platforms. Well, most indie filmmakers want to do that, and that's because a filmmaker is generally an artist, and they don't want to, even if they knew how to do distribution, they don't want to spend the time doing it because they just want to be making stuff. They don't want to be selling it, okay? So you go third-party distribution, which, and in a minute, I'm going to say, how do you get a third-party distributor? We'll talk about that in a second, okay? Or if you can't get a third-party distributor, don't want to, or can't get a good deal, the only other way to do it is what we call self-distribution, which is doing it yourself. So now, the good news about streaming and the internet and digital delivery is that a filmmaker actually has access to the world market. You can actually put a film up on Amazon yourself. You can access a lot of these platforms yourself.
All right.
But the big question is not how do you get the film on the platform? It's how do you get viewers to watch the film once it's on the platform?
Exactly.
Which is all about marketing. So most filmmakers don't have any money left over after they make their movie to do marketing, or they're just, they don't want to do marketing because one, they might not know how to do it. Two, they don't like to do it. Three, they can't afford to do it. They're busy making another movie. They don't like to do it. There's a million reasons why you don't want to do marketing. But if you don't, and that's why distributors still exist, because somebody's got to market the movies. But if you don't market your movie, even if it's the greatest movie of all time, if nobody knows about it and, you know, and it's on a platform, nobody's going to watch it anyways because they're not aware of it.
Absolutely.
So self-distribution is great, except that you have to factor in doing a full marketing campaign. Now, these days, the truth is, even when you get a distributor, like a third-party distributor, they don't really spend much money or time marketing your movie. They expect you, the filmmaker, to do the marketing. Mostly what they do now is just put you on platforms, and they're mostly AVOD platforms.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so can I just take a second, because your listeners are going to say, how do you get a distributor? So getting a distributor in the United States is not as easy as you think. I mean, there's hundreds of them, actually probably over 1,000. There's many, many, many. But there's tens of thousands of new films every year. So they're what we call curating them. They're picking them. So to get a distributor, you have to go through, you have to sort of focus on sort of what genre of film you've made. You know, is it a feature? Is it a documentary? Is it, you know, what genre is it? And then you kind of try to match it with a company that's doing those kind of movies. And then you pitch them and say, hey, here's my movie. And then you try, and hopefully they like it, right? And there's, you got to go through many, many, and you got to knock on a lot of doors. And there's lists available. I mean, they're published lists on the internet. Like type in list of distributors, you'll see them all. All right. But then you got to get what I call a fair deal. Getting a fair deal is the secret, okay? Because nobody's really giving fair deals. They're taking very long terms, like 10, 15-year terms, which is nuts, crazy for the filmmaker. Mm-hmm. I was in distribution, so I'm guilty because when I was a distributor, I was, you know, kind of doing this to the film until I became a filmmaker, and I didn't have the sensitivity of how bad the deals were for the filmmakers. So you got to get like a decent revenue split. You got to get there's about 10 terms and conditions that you have to get right in order to get a fair deal. So filmmakers are so anxious to just get a distributor that they end up usually signing a really bad deal. Mm-hmm. They're happy because they got the distributor, but they can't make any money because the deal is so bad.
So
you need two things. You need a good distributor, and you need a good deal. You need a fair deal.
That's right. You know, in all of your interview, you said that three of your films are on Netflix, but the first two times, they actually wanted you to deliver the film by using a third party, that they gave you a list, and then you had to choose kind of and then deliver it to them. But you said there's no point, because you are into distribution, you can directly deliver them. So third time they actually agreed with you, and then you delivered your film directly to Netflix. Now, if I talk about the fourth time, now will you directly put your film on Netflix? Is it that easy now, first? And secondly, do you think that Netflix is much more welcoming to the independent films than any other OTT platforms or streaming platforms?
Okay, to answer the first question, can I deliver? Of course, anybody can deliver if they just take the time to learn how to do it properly. It's not easy. Making proper delivery is very important and complicated. But Netflix publishes their specs. They give it to you. Mm-hmm. They say, here's what we need. There's companies that help you do the delivery, that do the quality checks and all this kind of stuff. And they have preferred vendors who you use. And they say, here's our list of preferred vendors. But they're not distributors. They just prepare. They prepare your materials for you. They help you get everything in order, and you know it's good to use them. Okay,
but so it's a last minute check, basically.
It's a last minute quality check, but there's also, like, let's say you have a film that needs, say, language dubs, because you're putting it in various languages. So they can prepare your language dubs for you. They can prepare what we call your metadata and your artwork and all this kind of stuff. They just make sure. When I say Netflix, I'm talking about all the streamers, okay? All of them have their specs, and they're very similar, okay? So I say Netflix, but I could say, you know, every streamer, okay? Every streaming platform. But we'll just use Netflix as an example, all right? So You have to meet their quality, their delivery specs, because they deal with so much content that they want it all in a certain format, certain order, certain sort of quality level, you know, all the soundtracks a certain way and everything like that, so that it's all uniform, so that they can play it through their system. So these companies right. just make sure that you're complying with all of those standards, because, you know, even though you're technically sound and you can do all this kind of stuff, which my company can, they just make sure it's in compliance with the exact standards. And you pay a fee, but you don't pay a percentage of your sales. You just pay.
Okay.
It's a flat fee and it's fair and it's a service, you know, like it's right. just part of post-production. All right.
Right.
So making delivery, if you know what you're doing, you can do it. I mean, it's technical. It's not magic. It's not art. It's just technical. It's doing it properly. Now, the second question you said was, okay, the next time around, you know, will Netflix let me deliver directly?
So, yeah.
So here's the answer to that. It's part A and part B. Part A is hopefully they trust me now because I've made proper delivery, and hopefully they will let me do it again. Okay.
Right.
Part B is the bigger one. Yes, I have three movies on Netflix, and yes, I've dealt with them directly, but I never take for granted that I'm going to get another one on. You know, every time you do it, it's a new adventure. All of the streaming companies need content, and they're looking for good content, but you can't take for granted. Like, I don't take for granted that Netflix is going to buy my next movie. I have to pitch them and sell them the same way you do, the same way anybody does. If they like it and it's good content, they think it's good for their audience, hopefully they'll make me an offer. And if they don't, it doesn't matter that I have other content, because I don't have like what some of the studios used to have. Like, the studios don't have deals with Netflix anymore because they have their own platforms, right?
All right.
They used to have these things called output deals, where basically mm-hmm. they would say, we'll give you this show. And if we give you this show, then you need to take, you know, five other movies that we have, or you know, you have to give us, you have to support us, all of our content, if you want our good content. You can't just
right.
take it. But now because all the studios have their own streaming platforms, it's all vertically integrated, and they just go from, you know, their production department to their streaming department. So, but indie film producers don't have streaming platforms. I mean, there are
right.
a couple available. So they have to go and pitch every single time. And they, you
right.
know, through a distributor and agent. So making delivery is the easy part. Doing
okay.
the sales, selling the movie is the tough part, getting them to be interested.
Right. Okay. So in general case, you are a producer yourself as well. So suppose I'm a new filmmaker, I want to make a film, I have a script ready. So if I approach you, what's the first quality that you try to find on a script to give it a green signal? So this question is from the newbies or new filmmakers to a producer.
Okay. Well, let's first start with, let's assume it's a feature length film. Okay.
All right. Yeah.
Okay. If it's a short film, I would give a different answer. Even if it's a medium length, if it's a feature film, then let's talk about feature length films. Okay.
Okay.
Just to get rid of, so if short films are basically to practice, to hone your skills. There's not really a viable commercial market for selling short films. So I would say if you're going to make a short film, just do it to learn how to be a good filmmaker. All right. And, and do it, you know, to express yourself and share that message with the world and have something artistic, but
right.
it's not going to really sell. So if you want to try to sell something, make a feature. All right.
Right.
So assuming you're a filmmaker and you have a feature length script and you say, okay, I want to make a movie. So I say there, go down two roads at the same time. Well, first of all, the first thing I would ask you is when you say you want to make a movie, I would say the exact same thing that my dad said. When you say you want to make it, do you want to direct the movie or do you want just your script to be made into a movie?
All right.
So some so-called filmmakers are just writers.
Right.
They just want to write, and hopefully their script, somebody will pick it up and make it into a movie. They'll be happy.
Yes.
Okay. But a lot of them are writer directors. Most of them want to direct the movie as well. That's usually what I find. All right. If you're a creative
all
person.
Right.
So let's assume you're a writer director. So you want to direct the movie. All right. So in order to direct the movie, you're going to need to, Like, you can't walk into, say, a streaming company or studio or whatever and tell them that you're going to direct. They're especially if you're a first-time director, they're not going to want you to direct the movie if they're paying for it. Chances are that you're going to have to make the movie on your own. You're going to have to self-produce the movie. All right. But when I said there were two streams, you can try to, you can get an agent who can try to sell your script to a streaming company. And, you know, maybe they'll say, okay, we'll let this person direct it. Highly, highly, highly unlikely, but you never know. You can try, but maybe they'll take your script and make it into a movie. Or the other stream is you make your own movie and therefore you can direct it and do whatever you want. So let's assume that you're a filmmaker who wants to direct and therefore has to make your own movie. So you're going to be an independent movie maker. All right.
All right.
So the first thing I ask, I don't ask even what the movie's about. I don't ask about the script. I don't ask any of that. The first question I ask is, do you have access to money?
All right.
Okay. I'm going to look at, here's what I say. Assuming everything is perfect. Assuming your script is great, assuming you know how to direct, I'm going to assume everything. I'm going to assume that it's the best movie ever made. Okay. So let's check every single box so we can get through that discussion first. Check, 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 check. You're good to go. Okay. Obviously you're not. We'll go back to those. But let's just get to the last box first. Do you have access to money? Because if you don't have access to money, then you don't even have the option to go down that road. When I say access to money, I don't mean you necessarily have your own money. I mean that you are connected to a network of what I call high net worth individuals, people who have money who would be willing to support you, assuming you tell them everything they need to hear properly. I could tell you what those things are if you want. I mean, in a nutshell, but basically we don't even have to have a discussion about your script or your story or your characters or your message. Unless you have access to money, because if you don't, it doesn't matter. You're not going to
get everything is pointless.
Yeah. Well, you're not going to get the movie made. And then you just might as well give it the script to an agent and let them try to sell it.
Exactly. It's very intense. It sounds very intense.
Well, but that's the reality. I hate to say it. We're talking about the film business. And like every other business, the film business is a business, and it's driven by money, by finance. Okay, so let's say I say to you, do you have access to money? You say, yep, I know some rich people who if everything was in order, they would be willing to support me financially. Okay, let's say you say that. Okay.
All right.
Now, here's the things that you have to have, okay, in order to make a rich person happy to support you financially. Number one, you have to have a good story. Okay.
True.
A decent script. All right. They're not going to know if it's good or bad because they're not in the film business. But let's say you have to have a good vision and a good script. Number two, if you're going to direct it, you got to have talent. You got to know what you're doing. You got to make a good movie. If you make a crappy movie, you got nothing. All right. So you got to be talented enough or surround yourself with experienced and talented people so that you can at least make a good movie. All right.
Right.
Okay. But now those are the easy things also. Okay. Here's what you really need. You need to know what your distribution plan is before you make your movie.
And all right.
So there's four things that you need to consider. This is before you make your movie. It's likely before you even choose your script or write your script. All right. So here's the four things you have to consider. Number one, who's your audience? Like, who are you making the movie for? Who's going to actually watch the movie? Like, you got to think about that before you make the movie, because that's the core question you ask in marketing.
True.
Who's the consumer? Okay. Number two, once you identify that consumer, how are you going to connect with them? Like, where can you find them? How do you message them? How do you create awareness with them? Because like doing social media is very crowded space and it's very difficult to connect with people. So you have to have a plan on how you're going to get your message out to those people who you think are your audience, your niche audience. All right.
Right.
Number three, where are you going to send them? Like, what platform? Now you say, I made this great movie. Here it is. I'm connecting with you, my audience. I want you to go watch it on, I don't know, Amazon.
Right. Okay?
So now you have to get that set up. You have to have a platform, or, you know, usually have 5 or 6 or 10 platforms watching on this, 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 and this. Right. So you have to have that. That's distribution. Okay. Number four, which is usually the hardest one, is Will they pay for it?
Yeah.
How much will they pay? So if you're going to send them to Amazon for transactional video, you know, how much are you going to charge them? $2.99? If you're going to send them to Netflix, do you have a Netflix deal? Will they pay you enough money to make it worth your while? So number four is the monetization, or the how much money, you know, can you charge the ultimate consumer base to consume your music and to your movie? Now, these are all distribution and marketing questions. Notice, right. I never asked you once what your movie about.
That's what I was thinking.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your movie's about. It just matters that there's an audience that's going to enjoy it. If you can identify the audience, then who cares what your movie's about? Just make sure that your audience enjoys your movie. It's a big world. It's a big world out there, and there's lots of people. You just got to find the people who are going to enjoy your movie.
True. It's very practical what you said.
And by the way, when you get if and you ever get into an investor presentation where you're actually pitching your movie, they're never going to ask you to read the script. Their chances are they're never going to ask you what the movie's about. Their only thing they're going to ask you is, what is my return on investment? If I give you $200,000, how much am I going to make back and over what period of time? Because that's what an investor wants to know. They want to know what we call ROI, true, return on investment. Okay. And then after that, when you say you're going to make, you know, we're going to return $400,000 over 4 years. You're going to make a 100% ROI or 200% ROI, blah, blah, blah. Then maybe they'll say, oh, by the way, what's your movie about? Or what's it called? But if you haven't satisfied the return on investment question, why do they even want to waste their time? They don't want to hear about the story. They just want to know if they're going to make money.
True. That's right, Jeff. Thank you for this whole practical scenario that you have shown us today. We are almost done, but a last question to you. You are a professor yourself at San Diego State University. And as I mentioned that you teach film distribution and finance. So if today I want to join San Diego and I want to, you know, learn film distribution and finance, and I'm going from Bangladesh to USA to learn that. So after finishing my degree, will I have enough exposure to job? How is the whole market? Will they welcome me to, you know, work in film distribution, being someone who is actually not from that territory, basically? So will I have scope of jobs in film production or related with film distribution? How is the job sector?
It's a good question, and it's constantly changing. Right. You know, COVID changed everything because there was fewer productions. Now everything's back up and running. So I would say that, you know, for every look at the bottom line, here's what it's about at the end of the day. For people who are hardworking, focused, persistent, and determined, and willing to, you know, and put the effort in and work hard, I would say that it doesn't matter where you're from or who you are, you're going to have an opportunity. All right. Now,
right.
In the United States, it obviously helps if you speak English. Okay.
Right.
Because you got to communicate. So that's one of the barriers, obviously. Right. But if you can demonstrate that you're going to work hard and then when you get that opportunity, you know, you do work hard and and hopefully you're talented and you have some skills to offer, then like everything else, it's a very competitive world out there. Look at some people have an advantage because their parents might be in the business or they have friends or they have connections. Okay. That's always going to be the case in every business. Okay.
Right.
But for people who are graduating from any program and looking for a job, you know, we have lots and lots of international students at our school. Lots of them.
All right.
Oh yeah. No, lots. I mean, hundreds, thousands probably. Wow. I mean, you know, our department alone, oh my God, I'm not even sure. Look, it doesn't matter to me who's international and who isn't. I treat everybody the same way anyways.
Of course.
And I don't know, like the United States is a melting pot, so I'm not sure who's American and who isn't, but frankly, I don't care. They're my students, right?
Right.
So So you could be my student, you could originally be from Bangladesh, and it wouldn't matter. You're my student. And after you graduate, listen, you know, you have to have, if you want to work in the United States, obviously you have to have a visa and you have to have paperwork and all that. But assuming you have all that, right?
Right.
It's just about demonstrating to a potential employer that you know what you're doing and you're willing to work hard and focus and give them your best effort. And you'll have an equal, hopefully equal opportunity to everybody else. And, you know, other than people who have, you know, some type of connection.
Right. But I would love to join your class someday, Jeff. I don't know I will have that opportunity or not, but who knows. Thank you so much for joining today with us. Just in the end, I will take an end note from you, feedback of this whole episode, and if you want to mention something to the listeners of our podcast channel.
Okay, here's what I'm going to say. Here's my message. Filmmaking is not an easy business, especially when you're an independent filmmaker. It's because you're an entrepreneur. You have to go it alone. You have to do lots of things that you didn't, like when you go and you say, I want to be a filmmaker, all you're thinking about is the artistic side, which is actually the fun thing, is making the movie. You're not thinking about financing it. You're not thinking about distributing it and marketing it. You're just thinking about making it. So if you want to be a successful independent producer, filmmaker, you need to think about all the other things. You need to think about the business side, not just the artistic side, because otherwise, you know, you can make great films, but they're not necessarily going to be successful. So that's
right.
So that's why at our school, we teach, you know, we teach both sides of the equation. Now, the stuff I teach, it's not as fun as the stuff the other professors teach. I mean, everybody wants to take the directing class and the camera, the, you know, DP class and the and sound and lighting. That's, everybody wants to do that stuff, right?
Right.
But and that's fun. But, you know, at the end of the day, if you know, I'm not saying you have to do the distribution. What I'm saying is you should know how it works so that when somebody does it for you, you're not, you know, you're not in the dark. And the same
right.
with the finance. You don't have to do the finance. Like, I could make your head spin with all the financial stuff, with tax credits and financial structures and equity and all these. It's for business students and accounting students and stuff like that. But I'm not saying you're going to do it as a filmmaker. I'm just saying it's good to know how it works, or at least know what the other people are doing, so that, you know, you've got the whole picture. And then, so that's what I'm saying. If you're going to be an indie filmmaker, try to get the whole picture of what's involved, not just the artistic side.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Jeff. Thank you for time. And it is such a pleasure talking to you. And we have got so many informations and also a very clear scenario of the context that you are selling films and into the film business. So thank you so much. And we want to invite you to Bangladesh someday. If you can come, please.
Yeah, I would love to come. Thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it. And it's great that you guys are doing this, and hopefully you're having fun with it and getting, you know, a lot of audience interaction and everything like that.
We're trying.
Yeah, no, it's tough. It's, you know, it's not easy like it is for anything else. And if you want to do it again, let me know.
Yeah, of course. That's what I was going to ask. Thank you so much. And we will stay in touch. And once it's published, I will send you the link so that you can hear or share with your friends. And surely would love to join and have a conversation with you once again soon.
I'd be happy to. Just let me know.
Sure. Thank you so much. Yeah. Okay, thank
nice
you.
Have a good day.
Have a good day too.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Goodbye. হেই, থ্যাংক ইউ ফর লিসেনিং। আশা করি পুরো এপিসোডটি আপনারা এনজয় করেছেন। ভালো লাগুক বা খারাপ, আপনাদের মতামত জানিয়ে এপিসোডটি শেয়ার করুন অন্যের সাথে। ক্যাপশনে #SoWeSay লিখতে ভুলবেন না। এছাড়াও অন্য কোনো মতামত বা এপিসোড আইডিয়া থাকলে ইনস্টাগ্রামে আমাদেরকে DM করুন। ইনস্টাগ্রাম আইডি চ্যানেল ডেসক্রিপশনে পেয়ে যাবেন। ইউ ক্যান অলসো মেইল আস এট contactsowesay@gmail.com। শীঘ্রই আসছি নতুন এপিসোড নিয়ে। টিল দেন, ডোন্ট ওয়ারি। The world is not gonna end soon. So we say.